Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures this morning to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. The text this morning is made up of verses 6 and 7 of this psalm. The Word of God at Psalm 84, verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Selah calls for a pause and a moment of reflection on what has just been written. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose hearts are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. The text this morning in connection with the administration of the Lord's Supper is made up of verses 6 and 7. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before thee and pray earnestly thy blessing upon the preaching of the word. Give unto us understanding minds, hearing hearts, and give unto thy servant the grace rightly to divide thy word of truth. Pardon graciously our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 84 is a pilgrim psalm, one of those psalms that was customarily recited as the Old Testament saints made their way to the house of God for public worship. The psalm describes the journey of an Old Testament Israelite on his way up to God's house. It is plain that this Old Testament saint loves God's house. It is plain that he delights in the worship of God that takes place at God's house. It is plain that he is eager to join with his fellow saints in lifting up God's name in public worship. In nearly every verse of the psalm, there is a reference to God's house. Verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Verse 2, my soul longeth, nay even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. In verse 3, the psalmist speaks of the altars of God and compares God's house to the place where a mother bird nourishes and nurtures her young. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. And in verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. The ways referred to there are all of the ways traveled by the Old Testament people of God to Jerusalem and up to the house of God. And then in our text, especially in verse 7, with the reference to Zion, Zion is Jerusalem. Zion is the place where the house of God has been built and where God's people gather for the public worship of his name. His prayer in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, is the prayer that God will bring him safely into the house of God. And in verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But for the pilgrim saint who is speaking in Psalm 84, the journey to God's house requires of him that he walk through the deep and the dark valley of Baca. It's the passage through that valley that is highlighted in our text for this morning. In that valley of Baca, God preserves his servant. And in that valley of Baca, he provides for his servant, provides for him in a wonderful, miraculous way, provides for him in such a way that he is strengthened to continue his journey in order safely to arrive at the house of God. Refreshment there in the valley of Baca. I call that to your attention at this communion service. Refreshment in the valley of Baca. Let's notice, first of all, the pilgrims passing through this valley. Secondly, God's provision for him in the valley. And finally, God's bringing him safely out of the valley and to the house of God. On his way to God's house, the pilgrim of Psalm 84 must pass through the valley of Baca. The valley of Baca was a well-known valley in Old Testament Israel. It was a valley in the tribe of Naphtali, the northernmost tribe in Israel. The valley of Baca was in the northern part of the northernmost tribe of Israel. So that Naphtali and the valley of Baca were as far away from God's house as any other place in the whole of the land of Palestine. The saint coming from Naphtali, the saint living on the other side of the valley of Baca, had to come the farthest of any other pilgrim on his way to Jerusalem. The godly Israelite who came from Naphtali and passed through the valley of Baca came to God's house ordinarily weary, utterly weary from the long and the trying journey that he had made. Not only was the journey long and difficult in itself, but what made the journey especially difficult was that it was necessary for the pilgrim to go into, to pass through, and again out of the valley of Baca. That word, Baca, means weeping. The valley is the valley of weeping. Obviously, called the valley of weeping because those who came through this valley were ordinarily reduced to tears by all of the difficulties, all the hardships that they faced in the valley of Baca. There were descending into the valley the jagged rocks on either side of the very narrow paths that led into the valley. There were the sharp, the treacherous hairpin turns as one descended into the valley, the switchbacks, always the possibility of a slip and a fall, always the possibility of injury, more than injury, of death as one climbed through the mountain into the valley of Baca. Death and injury were the lot of many who had passed this way before. The valley of Baca was also called the valley of weeping because of all the dangers that lurked on the valley floor. The narrow passes into the valley, but then once in the valley, the wild animals that stalk the valley floor, the lions and the leopards who preyed on helpless travelers. Not only the natural enemies, the wild beasts in the valley, but the robbers that lurked along the passes and behind the rocks, ready to prey on pilgrims who were headed to Jerusalem. They all carried with them their offerings, the money, that is, for the offerings that were offerings of money, but then also the money for purchase of sacrifices. They couldn't very well take their sacrifices with them on their shoulders all the way from Naphtali and through the valley of Baca, and so they took with them the money that was necessary to purchase the offerings once they arrived at Jerusalem. The robbers knew very well that these travelers were easy prey. And then, besides all of the natural difficulties, besides the thieves and robbers waiting to prey on these travelers, there was the barrenness of the valley floor itself. Utterly desolate. A desert. There was nothing, absolutely nothing in the valley. It was a wasteland. The valley of Baca was Canaan's death valley. Utterly lifeless. Altogether barren. A valley of weeping. A valley of destruction. A valley of death and despair. But the godly Israelite had to go through this valley. There was no other way to Jerusalem and to the house of God. No other way of obedience to what he knew was the will of God, that he appear regularly in God's house, in God's presence. The only way was through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. And so, for the sake of God's house, and with a prayer to God in his heart, the pilgrim made his way through the valley of Baca. The godly Israelite's journey through the valley of Baca is a fit picture of the life of the child of God in every age. It is a fit picture of the spiritual journey that the people of God make, the spiritual journey of every child of God. Your journey, my journey, pilgrims that we are in the midst of this present evil world. That's what we are. We're pilgrims. Pilgrims on our way to the house of God. Pilgrims who have here in this world no abiding place. This world is not our home. True enough, we are called to live in the world. God Himself has put us in the world. But this world is not our home. We are only passing through to the house and city of God, that is heaven, the joys of heaven, and the presence of God with His people in heaven forever. That's the reality. That's the ultimate reality that is pictured to us in the psalm. God's house in its highest and in its ultimate sense, heaven and glory. That's our longing. That's our desire. That's the goal after which we are striving. And that goal is pictured to us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The glory of heaven will be communion, sweet communion, perfect communion among ourselves and with God's church, gathered out of all time and history and from every nation. But more than that, the sweet communion of fellowship with God Himself. The fellowship that we enjoy only imperfectly now at this table, which is called what? The communion table. Because pictured to us on this table is the perfect reality of communion with God. But the way to that goal, the way to the joy of heaven and the communion with God in heaven is the way, the only way, the difficult way of walking through the valley of Baca. That's life now. That's life as we live it in this present world. Sin-cursed world, world under the judgment of God, world swept away by sin, by immorality, by all that is against God and contrary to God's good commandments. What makes the way especially difficult is that the valley is a valley of weeping. That's what life is at its best for every child of God. How often have we not been reminded of that in recent weeks and months? A valley of tears, a valley of tears because of all of the sorrows and troubles, the sickness and death that surrounds us on every hand. There are the sufferings of the body, the sufferings and sorrows that we experience in common with the children of this world. Painful sufferings, sorrows that cut us to the quick. The loss of an unborn child, the loss of a beloved father, grandfather, great-grandfather, the loss of a spouse, the cancer, the heart attack, the ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, a brain tumor, incurable in a young man not yet out of his teens. Add to the sicknesses and sorrows that we have in common with the children of this world, there's always also the hatred, the persecution of a world that hates the God whom we worship and His Son, Jesus Christ. A world that will have nothing of obedience to this God in holiness of life. A world given over to violence and immorality that hates us because we dare to live godly in Christ Jesus, dare to stand over against the world and condemn the world for its sin as sin against God. And then, what makes the suffering and sorrow of the child of God the greatest? Why especially this valley is a valley of weeping is his sin and the guilt of his sin before God. That's the heaviest of all the burdens that we bear. None of the other sorrows can compare to this sorrow, the sorrow that we experience because of our sin, the greatness of our sin. Especially this causes us to weep. It makes the valley a valley of weeping. That certainly belonged to the sorrow of the godly Israelite who walked through the valley of Baca on his way to Jerusalem. What's the explanation for it? That he was willing to endure all of the hardships, all of the assault, all of the threats that lurked in the valley of Baca, risking even his own life. What motivated him? What motivated him more than anything else was the sorrow over his sin. Isn't that plain? Where was he going? He was going to the house of God. He was going to Jerusalem. Why was he going there? He was going there to worship God. But he was going there to worship God, especially by bringing before God the sacrifice for his sin. That was the great reality of the house of God. In the Old Testament, everywhere you look, there were sacrifices being made. That's why this pilgrim was motivated to go up to Jerusalem, because there He would sacrifice before God out of the overwhelming sense of the guilt of his sin. The sacrifice that pointed to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone we have the covering of our sin. That is pictured to us in the sacrament this morning. This is the greatest sorrow of the believing child of God then. That's true of you, isn't it? That's what has brought you to God's house this morning, as every Lord's Day, the sense of the greatness of your sin and guilt, the fervent desire to hear the word of the gospel, the word of forgiveness from the mouth of God Himself. That's why you are here this morning, is it not? That's what motivates you to partake of the sacrament. You've examined yourself this week. You've seen in yourself, in your own heart, and in your own life, the greatness of your sin, the greatness of your guilt. Knowing that, knowing it not just with the head, intellectually, but convicted of it in your heart, you have come this morning weeping to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In the valley now, God makes a wonderful provision for the pilgrim believer. That's verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. There in that desolate valley, the valley of weeping, the valley of death, God provides for his pilgrim people. God sends the rain. Rain. And the pilgrim in the valley drinks from the water, is refreshed wonderfully with the rain provided by God that collects in the wells and in the pools. And so, as a result of the plentiful rain there in the valley, the pilgrim is refreshed for his journey, able to carry on, to go forward, headed to Jerusalem. Not only is he refreshed, but he is strengthened so that he can go forward. He can face the dangers. He can endure the hardships. He can carry on shouldering his burdens until he arrives safely at the house of God. Clearly, this wonderful provision in the valley is God's provision for his people. It is a divine provision, altogether a divine provision. Without this divine provision, there would be nothing in the valley. If God did not provide, there would be nothing, absolutely nothing, and no possibility for the pilgrim saint to carry on in his journey in order to arrive at the house of God. The provision is rain. rain that fills the pools. Rain in a special way. Rain is from God. Rain comes down from heaven. You children know that. That's the difference between rain and the sprinkler that your dad or mom may turn on to water the garden or in the heat of the summer for you to run through and be refreshed. Not a sprinkler, but rain. Rain that comes down from heaven and that underscores in an especially powerful way that God provides for his people in the valley of Baca. If God does not send the rain from heaven, the creature's language and the pilgrim will never make it through the valley. In the end, he will die. That's the significance of God's wonderful provision in the valley of Baca. And that underscores, too, the wonderful provision of God that God provides in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. What a provision it is. What a provision it was for the saint in the valley of Baca. The wells and the pools were filled by the rain that God provided. There weren't just a few drops of rain, a little sprinkle that might settle the dust, but nothing more. But a shower, an abundant shower of rain. As God provided for the pilgrim passing through the valley of Baca, so he provides for us in our pilgrim journey. The great reality, of course, is God's provision for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a divine provision, a provision from beginning to end that has its source in God and is provided by God and by God alone. It is a divine provision inasmuch as in eternity God has determined in his counsel and decree this provision for us who are his people. It's a divine provision inasmuch as that provision was worked out by God in God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who walked through the valley of Baca. He is the one who was reduced to tears in that valley as he suffered under the wrath of God and endured the judgment of God against your sins and my sins. That's the valley of Baca. The provision is a divine provision also because this provision is supplied to us now by his Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel confirmed by the sacrament. And it is an abundant provision. It is a provision that covers completely the guilt of our sins, the guilt of all our sins, from the greatest of them to the least. It is an abundant provision, not only because of the covering of the guilt of our sins, but also because of the cleansing of us from the defilement of sin, the defilement with which we are born into this world depraved sinners that we are, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. The power of sin in us is broken. What a provision for God in Jesus Christ. The power of sin no longer reigns in us. But grace reigns. Grace reigns. That provision comes to us by means. Outstandingly, the means is the preaching of the Holy Gospel. That's God's provision for us in the valley. Apart from this provision, there's no possibility of walking safely through the valley. Apart from this provision, the valley of weeping would swallow us up and reduce us to tears, to despair, to death. It's the wonderful provision that God gives to us every Sabbath day and twice each Sabbath day. It's the provision that He gives to us in the pure preaching of His Word in harmony with the Holy Scripture, the right dividing of Holy Scripture, and according to the standard of our creeds, all our life long, from the time we are born until the time 80 or 90 years or more later, when we breathe our last, the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, it's God's provision for us in the valley of Baca. But in His goodness, God adds to the preaching the sacraments. And now particularly the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And in the sacraments, God demonstrates to us the abundance of the provision for us and our salvation. This is God's provision for us this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. God's abundant provision for us in the valley. This teaches us a couple of things. First of all, it teaches us that the provision is not for everyone, but that this provision is for His people and His people alone, for us, for you, and for me. The they of the text, who passing through the valley of Baca, they who go from strength to strength, is not general, is not everyone, but is His people, and His people alone. They who are consumed with the desire to appear before God, to commune with God, that makes abundantly clear that this provision is not for everyone. Secondly, this also teaches us those for whom the provision has been made, that they need this provision, need it desperately, need this provision, apart from which they languish, apart from which they despair, apart from which they are unable to face the rigors in this valley of weeping. The only possibility is the abundant provision that God makes for us in the preaching of His Word and the sacraments joined to the preaching. The good result of God's abundant provision for the pilgrim passing through the valley of Baca is that he is brought safely through the valley. That's verse 7 especially. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. The result of God's provision in the valley is twofold. First, the result is that they are strengthened. Strengthened so that they are able to carry on in their journey, to go forward in their journey through the valley of weeping. They go from strength to strength, we read. That simply means from strength to still greater strength under God's provision so that they are able to continue in their pilgrim journey. That's the strength needed to face the dangers in the valley. That's the strength needed to endure the hardships. That's the strength needed to bear up under the sorrows, even the sorrow of death. That's the strength to carry on each one of us in the calling that God gives to us. That strength comes to us from God, but God is pleased to give us that strength through his abundant provision in the preaching of the gospel and in the sacrament. And second, the result is that strengthened by God's abundant provision, the pilgrim comes safely out of the valley. Notice that. He arrives at his destination, the house and the city of God, so that he appears there before God. Notice that. That description in verse 7. Appearing before God. That's the great goal. It isn't just Zion. It isn't just Jerusalem. It isn't just the temple. It's appearing before God in Zion. Appearing in God's presence in the temple and in the house of God. That's the pilgrim's all-consuming desire. That's the one thing that motivates him. It's the reality of that to which we all look forward. That reality is heaven. That reality is the worship and the praise of God in heaven. That's appearing before God, everlastingly. Beginning of that, we enjoy now in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That beginning of appearing before God and enjoying the fellowship of God is precious to us. The most precious thing to us, so long as we are in the valley, the enjoyment of the beginning of that in the sacrament this morning inspires us to press on in our journey through the valley of weeping, the valley of Baca, until by God's grace we arrive safely at the house of God in order eternally to appear there before him.